Bhaktivinoda Thakur refers to it also because when you analyze it from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's perspective, as a judicial district magistrate, he had to deal with pretension, dishonesty, in many different varieties and ways. Even from bogus yogis like Bhishakishen, who considered himself to be, he had some mystic potency that was all in his hair. And he had a great ability. But he was considering himself to be an incarnation of Mahavishnu. And he had some other guy that was imitating Balarama. And the innocent, illiterate people from Orissa were following. So this is called dishonesty, cheating process. So he had developed a very big following. And whenever Bhaktivinoda Thakur would try to discuss it with the man was very arrogant. You know? You're trying to arrest me and do this. You don't know who I am. So arrogance is a big thing about deceit. So, Satkara Mana Puja Tapo Dambena Chaivaya. Dumba means arrogance. Austerity driven by arrogance. Kriyate Chariha Proktam. Such persons, when they, it is said that when they engage in such activities, Rajasam Chala Madhruvam, then they're in the mode of passion and their activity will go. Chalata. It will not stay, but it will leave after some time. Adruvam. It will go because it is imperfect. Temporary. It is not a big phenomenon. We saw that, right? In our society in the 1980s. Somebody may be demanding the devotees to worship them. And then later on, worship them, offer them riches. Later on, they fell down. So it was an example of that verse. It mentions there in the purport, such things, Prabhupada says, they may go on, they may be artificial. It can go on for some time, but it is not a permanent thing. It's like a kind of a cryptic reminder. And it actually had it. So this is, we should always pray to Krishna to save us from such pitfalls. Always praying to Krishna that to fulfill it, free us from such bad association or such mentality by which we give up the intimate association of our superiors or people that can actually help us find out what's wrong with us. So, dishonest ways, prayas, over-endeavoring, and transcendent material activities. Such persons, they distance themselves from contact with the spiritual energy. Pure devotees that are always thinking about Krishna, they're always remaining humble and meek because they actually are always keeping themselves absorbed in the internal potency of the Supreme Lord. And therefore, the external energy doesn't capture them. Whereas people that are in arrogance, only looking to see material mundane perfections or material mundane profit, adoration, and distinction, and are artificially mistaking that to be a sign of spiritual advancement, have got a very wrong conception. Spiritual advancement means to actually be able to serve the Supreme Lord. So in any rasa, that perfection may come. This is referred to as Thai Baba. Here. So, devotional service and conjugal love. The fifth mellow named conjugal love is the crown jewel of all spiritual mellows. First comes deep loving attraction for Krishna, which is known as Madhura Rati. Madhura Rati is when a devotee is attracted by Krishna's sweetness and personal beauty and cannot clear him from the mind. This is called Madhura Rati. When this Rati attraction intermingles with the four ecstatic feelings of Vibhava, subsequent ecstasies, Anubhava, following ecstasies, Sattvikabhava, ecstasies of eight different nature that take over the bodily external functions, and Vyabhichari Bhavas. Vyabhichari Bhavas are transient, sometimes happy, sometimes sad, moody, like that, sometimes prominent, sometimes due to the humility and excessive crying and approaching the Lord with prayer, such mood may be receded in the background. This is why it's called transient ecstasies in nectar devotion. Now, here in the next one, it mentions very nicely at the bottom of page 35. Look at this. Example, in the mellows of servitorship, friendship, and parenthood, a deep and steady attraction known as Thai Bhava mingles with the four ecstatic feelings and produces rasa, or mellow. In the conjugal mellow, Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani are the alambana principle, or the support. It means that this Radha and Krishna then here, they support the devotees' attachment. Because of them, because of their pastimes, that supports their attachment, their loving attachment. And the qualities of Krishna, Radharani, etc., by meditating on them, is the Uddipana. Uddipana means, by remembering that, it plunges the devotees in ecstatic remembrance of their lordships. Anything can set it off. The full moon, nice blooming flowers in the evening, the conch shell, a peacock feather. These are all different symptoms that when you see these things, it certainly reminds the devotee of Lord Krishna, and thus plunges the devotee into ecstasy. That is called by Rupa Goswami, nectar devotion, as Uddipanam, a cause for rising ecstatic affection. Now, while participating in these pastimes, by joking, by laughing, by serving, the gopis and Krishna sometimes experience these different levels of ecstasies within themselves. Eight varieties of ecstatic symptoms known as astasatvika vikar. And the 33 devotional sentiments known as vyabhachari bhava. These are transient. They're secondary. Sometimes they're manifested and sometimes they're not manifested. These churn the ocean of rasa. When these two things, sattvika bhavas and vyabhachari bhavas, intermingle, then it becomes bhakti rasa, Rupa Goswami says. Sweet, wonderful, ecstatic reciprocation between Krishna and yourself. This is called bhakti rasa. Now, the development of rasa. When the sadhana bhakti or devotional service in the stage of practice matures into bhava bhakti or spontaneous devotional service, it's automatically transformed into sthayi bhava, permanent spiritual sentiment. Now, this is described by Narottam Das Thakur. I'll mention this about this. He says there, Jugala Charan, in his Prema Bhakti Chandrika, he says this, Jugala Charana Sevi, Anuragi, Nirantara e bhavi, anuragi thakibo sadai. I will engage in the service of the divine couple. Nirantara e bhavi, engaged always in that mentality, that thought, contemplation, in that mood. Nirantara e bhavi, anuragi thakibo sadai. And I will engage in that following. Anuraga means seeking attachments that follows that type of developed mood. Thakibo sadai. Favorable attachment moods that follow time and place. According to the day, according to the different udipanas, according to different remembrances of Leela, then devotees become affected in different ecstatic ways. Such ecstatic devotees. Sadhane bhavibo jaha Siddhadeya Pabutaha, Sadhane Bhavibo Jaha, that practice which comes about according to the nature of one's mood, Siddhadeya Pabutaha, you'll attain that when you get your perfected spiritual body. Ragapater e Jayupai. And this is the process, he says in that verse, how one obtains Raga Marga, the platform of attachment. Then, the next verse, he clarifies it a little more, where he says in Prema Bhakti Chandrika, Sadhana Jay Dhanachai, that treasure which the devotee, this is, see that previous word sadhana means practice. But there's a difference between vaidhi, bhakti, sadhana and practice in rules and regulations. And that practice has already been described as shravana kirtana, hearing and chanting, serving, engaging your hands in worshipping the deity, right? Cooking foodstuff, distributing prasad, talking on the devotional literatures to devotees, right? Encouraging, going out on Harinam Sankirtan. These are activities of practice for one who is doing Vaidhi Bhakti, rules and regulations, and engaging the external material body. Whereas this aspect of Raganuga, the devotee is at least endeavoring on the platform of Nishtha Bhakti and toward Ruchi. At that stage, because of these ecstatic emotional sentiments, a devotee is experiencing a flush of enthusiasm. It means the material body does not wear them down. Sleepiness or wakefulness, health, good health or bad health, all these things does not bother a devotee. One gets unlimited energy from Krishna at that time to sing and hear and chant day and night. It's a very special platform. This is why Ruchi is very rarely attained. And such a devotee has great bliss and ecstasies in Srimad Bhagavatam. All right? So practice at this stage is where Raganuga Bhakti will take effect at that time. At that time. Because only at that time in Raganuga Bhakti, specifically here, as it's being referred to about conjugal, the pastimes that Krishna has with the gopis are all day long. In different periods of the day, in Radhakunda, etc., all day long. And then he goes off and plays with his coward boyfriends, etc. Sometimes pats the cows, etc. But these pastimes are all day long at different times. And then in the evening time also, after Krishna finishes milking his cows, and he seats in a sabha with his coward boyfriends, and they see different dramas, then Krishna and Yasoda tells him that Nanda Baba is waiting to take his meal, close your pastimes. So he takes his meal. Then him and Balaram go to rest in the Mohan Mandir on jeweled couches. Then after that, about 9 o'clock, just while Yasoda Mai walks away confident that her son has gone to sleep, then Krishna opens up his eyes, jumps out the window and goes to meet Radharani and her friends or any other gopis at his previously arranged spot. Then, after singing, dancing, joking, in different various conjugal pastimes, then by 1 o'clock, 12 o'clock or so, in the kunjas, Radha and Krishna will start to nod out. They'll be so exhausted. So then their manjaris will comfort them by fanning them, sometimes massaging their feet, sometimes massaging Krishna's feet, sometimes massaging Radharani's feet. In this way, they try to get the divine couple happiness even in their resting, while they're resting, trying to free themselves from the fatigue of love sports. Then, after a little while, then the manjaris, they will go take rest a little bit in their respective kunjas or something like that nearby, while looking at the beauty of the divine couple. Sometimes when they wake up, they come back, see, like that. So the manjaris, they'll only get a few cat naps. They'll only get, you know, half an hour here, 15, 20 minutes there. They don't sleep much. So this is practice. This requires the stage of ruchi, because at that stage, because of one's eagerness, because of one's crying for it, Krishna gives unlimited energy. So it means such a person has deserved Krishna's mercy in that way, by which Krishna facilitates that devotee's manik sikseva. That's practice. Practice, there are bhajans recorded and mentioned in Bhakti Ratnakara, and also written by Narottam Das or Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur that's specifically meant to be sung at night. Bhajans that the devotees sing in ecstasy at different periods of the night, corresponding to various pastimes done by Radha and Krishna. This is sadhana for those devotees. It's not ordinary sadhana. Half the time devotees, you know, they take rest at 10:30, 11 o'clock, you know, they can't open their eyes for Mangalarti sometimes. They feel themselves so exhausted. But these devotees, they'll be singing and all night long. And still they can do their service in the daytime. So the next shloka says, Sadhane Jay Dhanachai, that treasure which the devotee is hankering for in his practice of manasik seva, that's what it means. Within the mind. Your spiritual body, pastimes, contemplated within the purified mind. Not an ordinary mind. It is not a hallucination. It is not a hallucination. It is understood in the purified mind, confirmed by Shiksha Gurus, confirmed by your spiritual master. This is that type of practice. Sadhana Jay Dhanachai, that treasure of service to the divine couple, service to Krishna Balaram, service to the elderly gopis, etc., assisting the servants of Krishna, the fortunate das and dasi service that massage Krishna's feet when he's resting in the Mohan Mandir, bathe him, clothe him in Yasoda's house, fetch items for Radharani to use for cooking, different aspects of service. That treasure which the devotee is hankering to achieve in their practice, they'll achieve that. Sadhana Jay Dhanachai Siddhateya Taha Pai. They'll achieve that in their spiritual body. Paka Paka Matra Sevichar. The thing that has to be ascertained, Narottam Das Thakur says, is whether it is ripe or unripe. That's the big question. Pakile Se Prema Bhakti. When it is ripe, then the devotee is showered with Prema Bhakti. And when it is unripe, then it is the goal of one's sadhana. It becomes like a ramrod. It becomes an impetus. For these reasons, even before a devotee is completely free of anartha nivritti, with this idea of lobha, greed to get Krishna somehow or other, they actually welcome constructive criticism. They're actively canvassing to get it. They actively canvass to ask devotees to please tell them what their faults are. They're eager to rip away the last vestiges of faults so that Krishna will be pleased with their endeavors to shower them a little nectar. The nectar in that case is steady devotional service, of attachment for Srimad Bhagavatam and devotional items, and mercy from Krishna, in the form of unlimited energy to engage in his service day and night without interruption. That's what they want. It's a treasure. So it says, Paka Paka Matra Sevichar, Pakile Se Prema Bhakti, Apake Sadhana Gati. When it is unripe, it is the goal of one's bhajan, the goal of one's work, services. Bhakti Lakshana Tattva Sar. This is the essence of instructions on the path of devotional service. So these two verses in Prema Bhakti Chandrika describe this aspect. And more elaboration is there in other confidential literatures. So that's the idea.
Sometimes it seems that the other rasas, Sakya rasa, are inferior to Madhurya Rasa. Sometimes he said that it's not inferior. One has his eternal relationship, and when he attains that relationship, he is completely satisfied there. He doesn't want another Rasa.
Yes.
And so, what's the conclusion? If one feels his Rasa is Sakya Rasa, he's inferior to another one who has Madhurya Rasa, or he's not inferior, he's fit in that position and okay.
Stai Bhava means that. Stai Bhava means he's fixed. These are all natural within the heart. They don't change. When the heart becomes purified by hearing and chanting, it automatically rises up in the heart. Rupa Goswami, from an objective platform of study, has analyzed it that the conjugal love contains all the aspects of all the others. But however, the others, they may not contain all the aspects of conjugal love. So because of all that, Rupa Goswami declares that unbiasedly, unobjectively, one can understand that conjugal love is the highest and more complete reciprocation with the Supreme Lord. But it is, does not mean that anyone that is attracted to another relationship is in any way inferior. Because in the spiritual world, there is unlimited devotional service. All of it is emanating from the Hlidini Shakti. And devotees whose service it is, they're naturally happy in that service. The statement that Bhaktivinoda Thakur likes to quote in his Amnyaya Sutra, also in Jiva Dharma, is a famous shloka by Hanuman. That I know that my Lord Ramachandra is non-different from Krishna. Still, my mind will not move away from him, budge away from him for a moment. That's what it means. When something is your eternal relationship, and you know it, you're fixed in that. That is called Stai Bhava. Fixed ecstasies. Fixed emotional exchanges.
The same thing happened to Ram Prabhu in some of the parts. I mean, he was very much in the so attachment with Lord Ramachandra. And so Ram Prabhu tried many times that he should pray Krishna, but he didn't know what happened.
So?
So, is that, but he, and later on, I agree that he's getting to that kind of attachment to Lord Ramachandra, isn't it?
What about his attachment to Ramachandra?
I don't remember the name of the devotee, I think. Then he took the attachment to Ramachandra. So there's a Sai Bhava in that.
Murari Gupta. Murari Gupta. Murari Gupta. Yeah. He's an incarnation of Hanuman. Yeah. Therefore, he could not give up Raghunath's feet, despite Gauranga Mahaprabhu's encouraging him to chant Krishna Nam. Anupam is another example. Rupa Sanatana's brother, Anupam, was another one who was greatly devoted.
So the point is that Gauranga Mahaprabhu sort of approved it.
Yes. He, as per the statements of Chaitanya Charitamrita, he approved it. He approved of that. It goes to show you that no matter what, your eternal relationship with Krishna is the fact. And it is natural to you, most tasty and most natural. The Vrindavan in the spiritual world has got room for hundreds and thousands of all different varieties of living entities that are attached to serving Krishna and Radharani and her friends and his friends, Krishna's friends, to an unlimited degree, and it's all part of one big family.
Then we learned Bhagavad Gita, there it is mentioned that the devotee, whatever the attachment he has for a particular form of the Lord, then in Vaikuntha Loka he goes there and he reaches to that particular planet, like Lord Ramachandra, Ayodhya, is there in spiritual world also. However, that is not the highest world.
Well, in this case, Gopal Kumar, he was a Sakha. He was not a Gopi, a Manjari, but he could also attain the highest planet.
The point is that even if you have a sthayi bhav for another form of the Lord, you do not get, even after reaching to spiritual world, you do not get the highest, you do not make further advancement.
They're satisfied. The reason is because they're completely satisfied. If they're meant for serving in Vaikuntha, they're satisfied with that. If they're meant to serve with Ramachandra in Ayodhya, they're satisfied with that. If they're going to serve Krishna in Dwarka, they're satisfied with that. They don't want to go anywhere else. They've attained their natural state. They don't want to go anywhere else.
They're still not considering the highest mercy of the Lord. Highest mercy that...
They feel they have attained the highest mercy of the Lord by milana, by association with the Lord. They're happy. Mukti hetva anyatha rupam swarupe nabhyavastati. Liberation, is this the definition of liberation? Liberation means hitva, having given up, anyatha rupam, any type of conception of any other form. And swarupen avyavastati, that you have obtained your swarup, your own form. Devotees that have obtained their own form, they don't care for any other form. We don't see a coward boy desiring to become like a gopi, or a gopi desiring to be like a coward boy, or a cow desiring to be like a gopi, or you don't see that. A tree, you know, or a flute in the hands of Krishna, or a garland, whatever their eternal position is, when they achieve that, that's it. They are completely satisfied. They have no other desire to be fulfilled. Therefore, this is why we can see that in different Puranas, when Krishna is discussing with different devotees, that Krishna will glorify these devotees that are situated in these rasas. And the mood is that Krishna wants to reciprocate with those devotees, therefore he will encourage them. That's Krishna's nature. Sometimes the spiritual master also does that. I'll give you a mundane example of that. Like Prabhupada, when he was traveling around the world, he would go to different temples. So he would see the beauty of the deity and he would say, your Radha Krishna is the best. Your deity worship is the best. And this way the devotees would feel, Prabhupada likes our service. So they would be so happy that they would do their service more. Then he would go to another temple and say, your Gornatai is the best. You know? So, was he lying? He does so just to reciprocate with a surrendered attitude, because he knows that these devotees are attached, they've dedicated their life, they're attached to that particular deity in the temple, they're meditating on that typical Lord, they're praying to those lordships, specific deities for their mercy, they're attached to thinking about them when they go about their daily service. So in order to increase that hankering and ability, the spiritual master's job is to increase it. That's all. Therefore he will increase it by saying, it's the best. And when devotees say, when he went to New York, he said that they were the best. And when he went to Atlanta, he said, you're going to tire the best. Going to tire very merciful, very kind, and this and that. Huh? And then when he goes to Bombay, he says, this is my office. And when he goes to Mayapur, he says, this is my place of worship. And when he goes to Vrindavan, he said, this is my home. You know? So different devotees, you know, they see this in different lights. But none of it is wrong. So when you see a statement, like for example in Naradiya Puranam, where it says, Sakya Bhava Param Bhavam Mama Priti Karam Sada Sakya Parataram Nanya Tasmat Sakina Mamyaja. It says, he tells Narada Muni that the attachment of friendship is the supreme relationship. And it's always captivating my mind. There is nothing higher than that. And there's nothing higher than this mellow of friendship. Therefore, worship me in the mood of friendship. It's in Naradiya Purana. Nobody can say that the shloka is not there. But for one who is situated in that rasa, they think, yes, Krishna has spoken correctly to Narada. No? There's no contradiction. For these devotees in each of their relationship. Otherwise, and it's glorified by all of these different moods of how Krishna comes swabhakti avasyata, is glorified wonderfully in Chaitanya Charitamrita about the confidential reasons of Lord Chaitanya's descent in Adi Leela, chapter 4, where he mentions Gauranga says that I've come just to taste these relationships, these sweet relationships with my devotees by tasting it and experiencing it myself. And this way I teach the devotees how to relish these relationships with myself, Krishna, who is none other than myself. But I'm tasting it myself, and I'm just showing how to taste it and how to relish it myself. And then it mentions the different ones. Krishna's Kaviraj, quoting Krishna, saying, when my devotees, whatever relationship my devotees desire, when they reciprocate with, when they desire to serve me, then I willingly place myself under their control. Then Krishna gives examples of how he willingly places himself under the control of the loving mood of the devotees. And he says, Mata, more putra bhave, karina bandhan, atihina gyane kori lalana palan. My mother absorbed her mood that this is my son, cannot understand my opulence. And she binds me up. She endeavors to bind me for my protection, considering me to be weak, be ignorant, innocently ignorant, not in full knowledge of the situation. Atihina. Hina is weak, without, greatly without knowledge. Atihina gyane kore. Because I'm very, just a small child, greatly without knowledge. Therefore, lalana palana, she feels obliged that I have to pat him, fondle him, and protect him. Lalana palana. Then it says, my friends, sakya shruta sakya kore, skandi arohan, tumi kon boraloka tumi ami sam. Those that are in kaivala sakya, not mixed, like Sridham, etc. Those boys are the equal age of Krishna. Exactly equal. Almost equal Krishna's age. Their dress, their attributes, their strength, their prowess, their mood is very much equal Krishna in all respects. So they say, my friends, in pure friendship, they crawl on my shoulders and they say to me straight in my face, what kind of an important man are you? You and I are equal. Then he says, Priya Jadi, Mana Kodi, Korena Bardsan, Veda Stuti Hoite Hare Se Moraman. That when my beloved, in her jealous anger, rebukes me, you know, for relating with the other girls, other gopis or something, in her jealous anger, and she chastises me with words, then those words steal away my mind more than the reverent words of the Vedas. These are the exact slokas from Chaitanya Charitamrita right there. So in each of these rasas, we cannot say that given the various circumstances when Krishna's with the coward boys, they can't captivate them. When he's in the middle of the play with them, then he becomes captivated. And when he's with his mother, then he's subordinate. When the boys threaten Krishna that we will tell Mother Jasoda, you're not playing right with, then Krishna is very afraid. He's not afraid of anything, but he's afraid of Mother Jasoda. So therefore, he takes a vow in the name of his father and agrees to play the rules properly, the game. So that's an example. That out of fear of Mother Jasoda, Krishna reciprocates with his coward boys and agrees to play properly. Yet still, on the way home, sometimes, out of eagerness to see the beautiful faces of his gopis, he will allow some distance between him and Balaram. Balarama will be very eager to get home and see Mother Jasoda and Nanda or something. So Balaram may walk a little faster. So purposely, Krishna will lag behind a little bit, allow Balaram to walk a little ahead. So without Balaram seeing, he will casually glance and look on the tops of the houses of the Vrajavasis as they're entering into Vrindavan. So he can glance and see at the rooftops and see on the Chandrashalakas how the gopis are looking at him and shining with bashful eyes and how they're looking at him. And Krishna will walk along slowly and look at them and exchange glances with them, etc., etc. And the thing about it is that if he walks alongside Balaram, Balaram will notice who he's looking at. So in order that Balaram does not notice who he's looking at, he lets Balaram go ahead a little bit. You see? So, in different times, or if he becomes eager to meet Radharani, then and while he's playing with the coward boys, the boys are playing with Balaram, then Krishna will take leave from them on the pretext of looking for a few stray cows. Then he takes, some cows are missing. No, your play should go on. Don't let us interrupt your play. Your play should go on. We will find the cows, don't worry. Go on, continue wrestling with Balaram playing. We will find the cows. So then they will go. Who will help him find the cows? Ujjvala, Arjuna, Subal, Marumangal. These people that are directly assisting, these coward boys that are directly assisting Krishna in his amorous pastimes, are passing notes to the gopis, jokes, messengers, talking to Krishna about the beauty of the gopis, or some strategy, some plan, they're meeting. They're always whispering into Krishna's ear. They go off with Krishna, assist Krishna in those. These boys, they play in both realms. They get to play and sport and dance with Krishna, wrestle, cheer on the winning party, eat, you know, steal each other's lunch baskets. Everything that the boys will sport, they also relish it. And occasionally they will whisper something confidential in Krishna's ear. So they get to play in both. They get to assist the Krishna's pastimes with the gopis. How is that? They will take Krishna's side. When Krishna's sporting with the gopis or something, they will cheer on Krishna. When Krishna's in a water fight with Radharani, they will cheer on Krishna. Sometimes they will take the side of the gopis. Sometimes, you know, on merit. And sometimes, mostly they will, or they will say some joking words that gives Radharani great pleasure, even though they're saying, just look at my Sakha, Krishna's doing like this, or something like that. And by, you know, he's defeated the gopis today. Or Radharani will take great pleasure hearing that, or something like that. One place, Radharani becomes so pleased with Madhu Mangal's statement that she gives him her own pearl necklace out of appreciation of his joke, of his joking statement, like that. So, even if these boys take sides with Krishna, still the purpose is to facilitate Krishna's pleasure with the gopis in nice ways, in nice, favorable ways, so that both may achieve happiness. See? Then later on, after the pastimes are over, then by 2:30, 2:45, they'll go back. And, they come and they see Balaram, who was sitting, joking, wrestling, reclining, his feet being massaged by the other boys in Shyamakunda area. They'll come back. And then again, the boys will share the fruits and things like that that they collected in the forest with these other boys that are with Krishna. And they completely involve themselves with the coward boys again. And momentarily, they completely, their previous pastimes, they don't say a word about it. They don't consider it. They become absorbed, you see?
One incident, it's very recently, last Saturday we went to this parikrama, we went to the Goa parikrama, and there are many goats I forgot this, Govindakunda or something.
So many queens.
Yeah, and I met one Vrijavasi, and he was washing his shoes, chappal, his sandal, into the one of the kund. So I was kind of surprised.
In front of the kund?
Not in front of the kund, in the kund itself. He was washing his chappal, you know. So I was kind of very moody. I said, don't you think we should be doing this thing? Because this is such a, you know, we take this water and put it on our head. And he was washing his shoes. And you know what he replied? I'm a Vrijavasi. We are allowed anything. We are not allowed. We are allowed. So what does he think? That he is in that mood, or he is in that takes it too much? And talk about this today's time. He said, I am a Vrijavasi. We are allowed.
Delicate. No, they're not in that advanced stage, but they're claiming by their birth that they are allowed. We may think that perhaps Krishna may look the other way. because he's taken birth in Vrindavan, perhaps Krishna may look the other way. Right? He may not consider it. But that does not condone it. It is not. We're not saying it is proper behavior. He may giving himself more credit. He's giving himself more credit than is due on the basis of his birth. There was one Brijabasi here that declared that whatever happens, don't take me out of Braj. He was not acting properly. Immoral business practices, so many things. He told his relatives, don't take me out of Braj. But when he got sick and he fell into a semi-comatose state, his relatives wanted to take him to... When they took him to the local hospital, the local hospital suggested that we don't have the facilities to take care of him or revive him properly. The proper facilities are in All India Institute of Medical Sciences. Why don't you take him there? That's because he has a chance of survival, a chance of recovery. So we would recommend to take him there. So that goes completely against what he had told his relatives previously. But being bewildered by the doctor's advice, they decided, yes, well, our duty is to save our husband or our relative, so it may be possible, so let's take him there. Anyway. You know? So, right when they got out of Koshikala, they got into Haryana and all these things like this, and they left the Braj Mandal, then he died. So, he died in the van on the way. Another devotee that was, another Brajavasi that was shot here in this area by one crazy person. He also was engaged in many, many duplicitous types of activities, even though he was born in Vrindavan. He died they were taking him to a Delhi hospital. And he was just being pulled in the ambulance into the hospital compound when he died in Delhi. See, he also was not allowed to die in Braj. See, so if they do a Brajavasi according, it mentions that they cannot take things for granted. This statement of Bhagavad Gita, where it mentions yam yam vapi smaran bhavam chajya dhyante kalevaram tam tam evaiti kanteya sadatana bhava bhavita. According to your state of consciousness at the time of your departure, you get that. So, according to the culture of what you're cultivating your whole life is what you're getting. You may take birth in Vraj and you may engage in all types of immoral activities, but that all that immoral activities will not help you to take shelter of the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. So consequently, such persons giving up their body without any type of devotional mentality cannot expect to achieve shelter at the state of Radha and Krishna on the basis of the land here. That's the distinction. The animals, they may get the compassion of Radha Krishna in the case of taking birth, you know, due to whatever sukriti they had. They may turn as monkeys, dogs, turtles, birds, animals in Vraja. That they may get. Then, at the best, then after such a life, whereby they are not creating any new sinful activities, they're only burning off reactions of old sinful activities, then by the touch of the dust of Vrindavan, they may be promoted at the end of that life in Bhomalila, where the Lord is performing His pastimes again within the material world. Then they're promoted to that Leela and they get association then with those as devotees, and they become promoted after that. The animals of Vrindavan, even though you see the monkeys are dying and the dogs are dying or this or that, down to the insects, you see, they get promotion in the Bhomalila. They're more fortunate. Whereas the human beings here, if they do not check their mentality, then they cannot get. There's no guarantee for the human beings, for the two-legged animals, human beings. There's no guarantee. But the animals have much more of a guarantee than us. So, it is according to our mentality. Like when you see statements that mentions that even rogues, thieves who die in Mathura can get liberation, there it means a certain sense of mentality at the time of death whereby they lament. There's a story also of a Brahmin that was performing his duties very nicely, but he was contemplating the prostitute across the way. Whereas the prostitute was contemplating the Brahmana, that I'm so wretched and fallen that according to my karma I'm engaged in as a work of a prostitute. But actually I'm very fallen and lowly. I had better think of Krishna and meditate on Krishna. If only I could be as fortunate. Why I had to take birth in this way and I'm forced by my karma to my circumstances, my educational background, my circumstances, I'm forced to work as a prostitute. It is so lowly, so horrible, yet I have no other work or no other facility and that's my karma. So she's constantly lamenting her misfortune that I don't like this job, but it's my lifestyle and my circumstances. I have fallen into this pit as a prostitute. Let me serve sadhu somehow or another anyway, or let me take shelter of Lord Krishna anyway. I wish I could be as fortunate as that pious Brahmin over there. He's so lucky just to study Shastras. No? So she is thinking of the Brahmana and desiring Lord Krishna's shelter. And she dies like that. So she obtained mercy because she was always lamenting herself. Whereas the Brahmana, who was always contemplating having illicit sexual relationships with a prostitute, you know, or trying or taking that facility now and then, and contemplating that, you know, even though while masquerading duplicitously, pretentiously, imitating a Brahmana to win money off of people who come to him seeking solutions to their spiritual problems when actually he's spiritually deficient or spiritually bankrupt. Such a person who is cheating in that way, willfully cheating in that way, becomes captured by Yamaraj to be cheated. To be chastised. So, it depends on the mentality. If at the time of death, you know, gundas, people that did so, they lament their past and activities, and at the end of their life, they actually get the chance to hear Harinam. They get a chance to worship Krishna with a thoughtful mind. Perhaps. It depends on the state of consciousness at the time of departure. There is no guaranteed path. It depends on the nature of their activity. For example, there may be examples of this, devotees, people that we met. I met devotees that were born in Braja. They did all types of nonsense here. Somehow or another, they got a degree somewhere and they went to America. When they went to America, they became disgusted with American life. And they started to meet the devotees and they realized that actually I surrendered so many things, all my good fortune that I had in my childhood in Braj, I have surrendered it for materialistic life. How foolish it was. And they became very submissive to the devotees despite having taken birth in Braj. And they became very submissive and humble to the devotees and they became very nice. Very nice. So it depends on the mentality.
We have one Brajas in our hand there.
Now, he's not the only place. There are other places as well. And there are many other places as well. I've met them in Chicago. I know there was one or so in Boston also. And it's like this. These are the characteristics. So it depends on the mentality when they give up the body. Of course, now externally for your disciples, so that they may not find fault with the Vrajavasis who are doing nonsense in the Dham. Let Krishna be the judge of them. Why should we judge them? We will not condone their activities. At the same time, it does not look good for us to blaspheme them or like this. Therefore, the spiritual master may sometimes tell the disciples, "Oh, Guru Maharaj, look at that. That's not good. Yes, perhaps he is not acting properly. However, Krishna is in charge of him. And Krishna will see to do what is necessary for him. We should not. He may get away with it. We cannot." So, there's a both, there's value in both sides of the coin. Now, is there any other question in that? Now, we mentioned about development of rasa. When sadhana bhakti is on the stage of practice, matures into bhava bhakti, spontaneous devotional service. Prabhupada mentions this in Nectar Devotions classes in 1972, where he said, we're practicing bhakti now, but when the heart becomes attached to Krishna, when we do things for Krishna's pleasure, then raga marga will come. It is a natural sequence of advancement of the devotee after anartha nivritti. It is natural, Prabhupada says. As long as we're not trying to do things naturally for Krishna, impelled by rules and regulations, then we're still in the plasma of vaidhi. But when we want to please Krishna increasingly for His pleasure, then that becomes more and more involved in raga. But there must be no material desire. You cannot claim that you're trying to practice raga marga and you still have sex desire or greed desire, or desire for material opulences, like this, different aspects Therefore, when one devotee saw the shloka, Atanama Rupa Chalatari Sukirtananu Smrityo Kramena Rasana Manasini Yodja Tishtana Brajay Tadanuragi Jananu Gami Kalam Nayere Kilamit Yupadesha Jaram. The essence of all advice is to think of Krishna 24 hours a day, engaging the tongue and the mind. In this way, follow in the footsteps of the associates of Krishna and stay in Vrindavan in that type of mood. This is the essence of all instructions on the path of devotional service. Rupa Goswami says, the essence of all advice? Wow. Prabhupada, how do you do that? Prabhupada said, have you followed the first sloka? Vacho vegam manasa krodha vegam. You have to follow the verse through seven first before you talk of the eight. It's all in a sequence. Rupa Goswami is given the instructions sequentially. So there must be no lustiness, no greediness, no anarthas. Your Vaishnava etiquette must be fantastic. Your enthusiasm must be great. Your ability to give up the bad association must be unquestioned, must be demonstrated. Your relationships with all devotees and all, with the Kanistha, Madhyam and Uttam, your ability to relate with them, serve them, must be unquestioned. Your loving affection must be well understood. Your ability to spot and appreciate Uttamadikari Vaishnavas and never find fault with them in any regard, as mentioned in verse number 6. Your attachment to the name of Krishna must be so pronounced and so understood. That's verse number 7. Then, when all these things are pakka, when all those things are pure, then you can enter the strive for serving in the footsteps of the Vrajavasis. Vrajavasis are two. The Mahantas that are within this material world, Uttamadikari spiritual masters like that, even if they don't reside physically in Vraja. Remember Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentioned that in the early verses. Even if they don't live in Vraja, they reside there in the mind. Uttamadikari Vaishnavas. These are called Gostaliyashu. Resident, real Vrajavasis, like that. So you're serving under their direction, the previous acharyas, or like that, and you're hankering for the other Vrajavasis, the eternal Nitya Parshada Kinkara, the eternal associates of Krishna. You're aspiring to serve them in a similar mood. Raktak, Patrak, the boys, the gopis, mother, the elderly coward, ladies and men like Mother Jasoda, etc. You're following in moods, studying their moods, relishing their moods, their pastimes, individually, privately. Narottam Das Thakur says your relationship is not for broadcasting. It is private. You may favor a particular rasa, and disciples and people may know it, but what is exactly your form? What is the nature of your relationship with Krishna? What is your name? All that, when it is revealed at Ashakti, it's described at Ashakti, after Ruchi. At Ashakti, you conclusively know what it is. But you are holding that like a treasure to your chest. Narottam Das Thakur says that is not to be revealed. that is not to be revealed. The disciples may sometimes, advanced disciples may sometimes guess that. And then the spiritual master understands that Krishna has revealed it to that disciple, then out of pleasure with that disciple, he may agree. He may say, Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Gita Mala mentions his name as Kamala Manjari. His dress is like this, his residence is like this, his service is like that. He mentions it. He mentions in Gita Mala the process of achieving understanding of one Siddhadeya. And he mentioned his own. Disciples of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur happen to understand his position and purportedly asked him. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur admitted that, yes, you've understood properly my form. Our Guru Maharaj did not reveal his, although many different devotees have different ideas. But Narottam Das Thakur, whenever any disciple asked, obviously in those years, we were too young. We're hardly chanting 16 rounds, being steady in devotional service, and we want to know our spiritual master's relationship with Krishna. It was clearly inappropriate at the time. Not difficult to understand it. And therefore Prabhupada told him, that is not for you to know. Time was not ripe. Even when a disciple was, in 1969, was walking with Prabhupada in Germany, and Prabhupada was talking about Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that devotee interjected. He was trying to pull more out of Prabhupada by saying, you must always be feeling great separation from your spiritual master. That you cannot understand. How my separation of mood of feelings of separation from my spiritual master, that you are not able to understand, he said. At that time, obviously, somebody just joined the movement a year and a half before, you know, or 2 or 3 years before. How is he supposed to understand his spiritual master's separation from his spiritual master, his separation from Krishna? He has no adhikar. There's no qualification. First deserve, then desire. Prabhupada said, I'm waiting for the day I can find a disciple that is deeply attached to Krishna that I can sit and discuss Radha Krishna with. And I can discuss it. But without that, therefore, such devotees, acharyas, they purposely withhold. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would sometimes discuss lower aspects of devotional subject matters in mixed audiences, simply so that he would not become bound by ecstatic emotions. He would sometimes discuss the Isha Upanishads and this and that, but with other philosophical concepts. In Navadvip, he would talk about Radha Krishna. And when he was in Vrindavan, he would talk about Gauranga. Like this. But whenever he was speaking sometimes about Srimati Radharani, his face would blush and he would turn very red. Different devotees could see that different spiritual emotions were surging within him. Each fighting over control. These are called Vyabhichari Bhavas. Or different Sanchari and Vyabhichari Bhavas are struggling within. But he was restraining himself for the purpose of preaching a lecture. Sometimes he couldn't. He would say, that's all. And he would stop his lecture. So purposely, sometimes in order to suppress such emotions coming to the fore, so that their disciples may not understand, may not give away too many intimate things about their service to Krishna and Radha like that, then they will choose to speak about less important, less detailed spiritual topics. So Prabhupada commented that, I'm waiting for that time when my disciple becomes advanced enough that I can talk about Radha Krishna. But obviously that was not there. The only one disciple asked Prabhupada about stage of perfection. How will we understand it after your departure? And he said, when you chant Shuddha Nama, when your Nam Bhajan is actually Shuddha, then at that stage you understand. It is like the sun rising in the daytime, automatically. All the inauspicious things are cleared from the heart, Prabhupada said, and then you see things very clearly because of the mercy of the sun. When you see the sun, you can see the sun, and you'll see yourself also. Then I will be there and I will instruct you. That was a clear instruction that he gave to that devotee. He used to be here in Vrindavan. From 1968 to 1975, he temporarily left the society and became involved. But then when he came to understand that he was being tricked by one godbrother of Prabhupada in that garage, then he came back to Prabhupada. But by that time, he had learned fluent Bengali, and he was very deeply trying to understand different aspects of devotional tattva. So he asked Prabhupada these confidential questions. When he was asking questions, Prabhupada smiled and said, "Oh, you learnt a lot, huh?" He was smiling. Then when he asked these questions, Prabhupada answered them very nicely to him. So when the disciple learns different aspects, of course, although the disciple learned different aspects, that particular disciple was not able to keep his vrittas. So it showed that sometimes in bad association, different association, one is not able to keep the steam up. So when ABC to GBC, one always, even if one understands theoretically something, if he is unable to lift the anarthas from his heart, lustiness and greediness, Prabhupada said, you know that you're making advancement when you're free of lustiness and greediness. If these things are still manifested, then there's much more work to be done to cleanse the heart. Then you will know that you are not at all fit. As long as lust and anger and these things, material desires, are dancing in the heart, you are not fit for Raga Nuga Bhakti. There is no question. For this reason, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, noticing that different disciples were still struggling with these anarthas too much, even on a gross platform, what to speak of a subtle platform, then he would advise such disciples for their benefit not to read Rasalila pastimes, not to read pastimes of Krishna with the gopis, certain sections of Chaitanya Charitamrita to avoid, for their protection, so that they may not fall down from their whatever platform they're presently on. They may not take it cheaply. Even some sannyasis that he had awarded sannyas to, later on when he saw that still some anarthas were present in their heart, he gave specific instructions to them. So it's not all one. Anartha Nivritti must be done. And therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, first anartha Nivritti, then artha Pravritti. That's the thing. First, the dirty things must be completely. And therefore, I mentioned the devotee is very eager to get him kicked out, and he's eager to get more advanced association than he has now. He takes advantage of his instructions of his Shiksha Gurus and spiritual master from distant, meditates on performing positive devotional activities. This way, they gradually solicit the mercy of Krishna. And if they don't have it, then they want to know why. You know, this is called positive anartha nivritti. Some devotees take only a few years for anartha nivritti. Some take 15, 20. Some devotees find it only at the end of their life. Some devotees take a few lives. Anartha nivritti is not a passive subject. It can be done. Prema bhakti can be obtained. But it is certainly rare. Therefore it says, Moksha Laguta Krit, Bhava Bhakti section, it says, Moksha Laguta Krit, even the conception of liberation has paled into insignificant, and Sudurlabha, very rarely attained. Even amongst devotees of the Lord, Bhava Bhakti is very rarely attained, even amongst devotees of the Lord. So we should try to understand what they are, the different devotional platforms. Madhurya Kadambini is meant to give people a little nutshell, a little synopsis of what it is. So at least theoretically we may understand the goal of life. Attaining it is another story. One has to be completely surrendered and diligent and strive for perfection. Krishna mentions in Gita, one who is always endeavoring, striving for perfection, they can achieve it. But are we doing that? How much of our day were we spacing out? So we have to see that. All right. So, now it mentions here, it is automatically manifested, as Bhava Bhakti manifests slowly into Sthayi Bhava, permanent spiritual sentiment, when it intermingles with the four ecstasies of Vibhava, Anubhava, Sattvic, and Vyabhichari, rasa is produced and Bhava Bhakti is transferred into Prema Bhakti. This is described in Madhurya Kadambini. This is described in Madhya Leela, chapter 22 and 23. And also in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It's described. Analytically, you can understand it. Realizing it means only those who are situated on that platform can genuinely describe what it is. It takes one to know one. Otherwise, only we can just theoretically understand that that's all. Only from a very theoretical platform. So, unalloyed devotees who are fortunate enough to be elevated to the platform of Prema Bhakti Ras first become assistants to the gopis and intentionally implore Srimati Rani to bestow her causeless mercy. Then a ray of Haladini Shakti enters their hearts and the buds of Prema Rasa, loving mellows, begin to blossom. No other process for obtaining Prema Rasa is effective. This Haladini Shakti is available also. Radharani manifests this Haladini Shakti in all rasas, in all relationships with Krishna. All the rasas with Krishna are all subordinate manifestations of Krishna's pleasure potency, Haladini Shakti. She has a hand in everything. This Haladini Shakti has a hand in all the rasas. Now, by means of jnana, the living entity may sometimes experience Brahmananda or the bliss of Brahman realization and thus become situated in self-realization. But without the mercy of Radharani, he can never experience Paramananda, the highest spiritual happiness. This means also that devotees can theoretically understand different mellows by studying it scrutinizingly. But at the end, one has to be frank and understand what level you're actually at now. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, it's a very interesting statement, forget the past that sleeps and never the future dream at all, but think of things that are with you and progress you shall call. We should not hallucinate about a platform that we're not on. Neither should we, in one sense, fall into deep depression because of our past fall downs or difficulties. We should not allow past depression to stop our present advancement. But you should think practically, realistically, verifiably into what platform you're on now and take those steady, step-by-step advancements to make advancements, short-term plans. This way you can get the mercy of the devotees. So we'll stop here now. Tomorrow, we'll be discussing verse number 9.